All right, well, let's jump into our message here today. And in today's message here, I'm going to need a few people to read here. And so today we're going to have kind of a more interactive message, and in the sense of we're going to be asking you what did you hear in the scriptures, and if there's any kind of Q&A. But we're in 1 Peter chapter 4 is where we're going to be at. This week we're going to do chapter 4. Next week we're going to do chapter 5, and that will end our series. And next week, I'll have some instructions for you. You might be saying, well, Pastor Dan, what about 2 Peter? Because it says 1 and 2 Peter up there. I'm going to have an assignment for you. Now, it's not a school assignment. You're not going to get a grade on it. However, I'm going to have an assignment for you regarding 2 Peter. So you'll want to be here next week. Dun, dun, dun. Cliffhanger for next week about what's going to happen with 2 Peter. So, but today, we'll do chapter 4. Next week, we'll end on chapter 5. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. The letter from the Apostle Peter, man, it's a great, oh man, I forgot my clicker. Drew, can you advance my slides for me? I got a new clicker, but I left it in my office. Anyhow, do you want to get it? Yeah, it's in my drawer, Ginger. It's in my pull-out drawer. Thank you. Yeah, it's great to have a great helper, right? Right, and all the men said amen to have a great helper. But 1 Peter chapter 4. And so today, I need two people to help me read. So who would like to help me read today? Let me get two adults here. Let me get Paula and then Sharon. Okay, I'll call on you guys. I'll tell you here in a minute what to read here. We'll get you next time, William. Thank you for being willing. We'll get you next time, buddy. All right. So here's what it was. So last week, go to that first slide for me, please. So last week, we talked about this. Why does suffering happen to good and bad people alike? If you were here, if you were not here, if you were gone, We began this discussion on suffering. In 1 Peter 3 and 4, the Apostle Peter talks a lot about suffering. Now, yes, I know everyone's like, yes, let's talk about suffering, yay. However, we have to remember that a lot of life is made up of ups and downs. And a lot of times you're going up, and sometimes you're going down. However, we know the Lord is faithful, and He's always with us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't leave us to our own things, but He's always with us. Thank you. And so we talked about why does suffering happen to good and bad people alike. Have you ever thought that? I know a lot of times we talked about how people say, you know, why do bad things happen to good people, or why do good things happen to bad people? But that's not really the question. We're dealing with why does suffering happen to everyone? It's no respecter of persons. And we said last week, I want to remind us as we begin this chapter on suffering again, is this: the end point of suffering is not fatalism or nihilism. It's not, oh, it's just the fates. The Romans and the Greeks would have believed, oh, it's just the fates. If you had, you know, if you were born with a bad leg, that's just the fates. Or if you got hit by a car, well, that's just fatalism. No, or that's just nihilism, meaning it's meaningless. Suffering is meaningless. No, Scripture says the end point of suffering produces hope. And as we jump into today's Scripture, I want to remind us that Romans 5, 3 through 5 reminds us that not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. As you see with Jesus, Jesus always takes us from what we think might be the end point to glory and to glory and to glory. As Scripture says, Jesus just doesn't leave us in suffering. He says, I'm going to use the suffering to show you my power and my might, and I'm going to develop you and give you skills and character that's going to be a light shining to all those around you that are suffering. And so I just want to remind us as we begin this that when we talk about suffering, it shouldn't make us like dull or sad or just, oh boy, that sermon was horrible today. Wow, I mean, can we have a spirit about joy or giving or love, right? No. But in suffering, we get to go out and give hope to our world. If you know, out on our banner, when you walk in, what's our banner? Our first banner says, we give hope in Jesus' name. And to the world that is suffering, we get to go out and shine bright like lights on a hill, that Jesus, in Jesus there's hope and there's forgiveness and there's a new day for those that are suffering. As we continue here in 1 Peter 4, turn with me to verse 19. Look at me at the very last verse. Before we read it here, I want to highlight, this is the theme for today. In 1 Peter 4, 19, it says, it's the last verse. He says, therefore, I'm reading out of the ESV, he says, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Have you ever read over this? Have you read this? Have you ever slowed down? He says, to those who suffer, entrust your soul to a faithful Creator while doing good. Last week, we talked about sharing hope in the midst of suffering. Today, we're going to be talking about our doing good in the midst of suffering, because we can entrust our soul to a faithful Creator. How many of you, do you look at Jesus like that? Is he your faithful Creator? Or is he just the get out of hell card quick? Or the guy you appease on Sunday mornings? Or is he your faithful Creator who you can entrust your body, mind, and soul, your family, your kids, your finances, your health, your vocation to? Because he's a faithful Creator. And as Peter ends this kind of portion of Scripture here, he kind of sums up this entire chapters 3 and 4 with this kind of this small phrase here. To those who are suffering, you can entrust your souls, trust your soul to a faithful Creator while doing good. In suffering, we as the church, we don't have to hang our heads. We don't have to curse God because our God is with us, and we can go out and do good, share the hope of Jesus, all the while walking through life's hard journeys. And so with that, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 here, and we're going to read this here. And so let me get the microphones. Drew, we're going to be in handheld number 1, please. If you'll unmute that. And so Paula, I'll bring you the mic. Paula, will you read verses 1 through 9, and then Sharon, you'll read 10 through the rest of the chapter, okay? All right, Paula, let me bring you the mic.
Then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging.
Thank you. All right, Sharon. Verse 10.
Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household, and it begins with us. If it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good.
Thank you. Amen. Let's pray, church. Father, these next few moments, we pray that you would highlight your scripture. God, we say thank you, God, as we sing today, you are faithful. And God, we are glad that we can entrust our souls to you alone and that you're faithful to do it, God. You bring us through. You bring us through every battle, every low point. And God, you take us from glory to glory to glory. And so, Jesus, we praise your name, God. We start with praise to you. And may your name forever be on our lips, Jesus. In your name we pray. Strong and mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, Jonathan, I'm going to need your help. Can you help me be a runner here? So I want to take a moment here. I just want to open it up. Is what stood out to you in Scripture? What verse or what kind of stood out to you in Scripture, if any? I want to say, Jonathan, you cover this side. I'll cover this side, okay? Because I can't be in two zones. But I want to take a moment and see. What stood out to you? Was there a phrase or a verse or a thought there that stood out to you? I want to hear just if there's any. If not, that's all right. I've got some thoughts here, but. Right. Yep. Be kind to one another. Yep. Not murmuring to one another. Thank you, Paula. Yep. Yeah. What's it out in Scripture to you? Yeah. Go ahead.
To be self-controlled and sober-minded, just to kind of be steadfast and not just going on a whim.
Okay. Thank you.
In verse 8, it says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. And
yep.
For me, who is task-oriented and can put tasks in front of people, that was, and I mean, I know that's not the context, but for me, that was right. Like that.
That's good. That's good. Thank you. Yep. Anybody else? What stood out or what? A thought or a verse or phrase? Okay. Oh, let me go here. Yeah, Sarah.
This is the Message version of verse 2. Think of your suffering as a weaning from the old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want.
That's good. Thank you. Yep. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Thank you, John. Well, in the Scripture portion here today, it's a very much a practical theology application portion of Scripture. So let's look through this a few things here. Look here in verse 1. It says, "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin," or some versions say, "has no longer striving for sin or dealing with sin." Have you ever thought about this as a believer? Have you ever armed yourself in the same way that Christ did? Meaning taking on suffering. Many of us, I think the human experience is we push away suffering, right? We know this even as children, right? When babies cry, they want to be comforted. They want to, right? As adults, when we cry, we want to be comforted. We want to have things around us. We don't go through hardships, right? Who wants to get sick? Right? Who wants to lose a loved one? Right? Who wants to have their house lost? Who wants to have the car break down in the middle of rush hour? Right? We don't want to go through hardships or suffering. Who wants to, you name whatever hardships you've been through. No one wants to do that. However, Scripture says right here, it says, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. How often have we put off our spiritual development and being maturing in Christ because we've pushed away suffering? There's two views of this. You can say, well, hold on, Pastor Dan, are you saying we're supposed to be like some kind of weird people that want to be like go through hardships and suffering? No. That's not healthy, right? We've seen this in the Catholic Church sometimes where there's one order of the Catholic Church Fathers where they would, you know, would beat themselves so they would bleed to do penance or somehow enact Christ's suffering. That's not what that's debased and demonic. That's not what Peter's saying here. He's saying that as disciples, when we go through our life, when we go through life, when we are growing up, we get married, raise kids, you work a job, whatever it is, we're going to go through suffering. And when we go through that stuff, we don't need to instantly push away and be like, oh man, I'm suffering. I don't want to deal with this. You know, cover your eyes. Oh, you know, Lord, take me out of this. We need to say, Lord, I know you're with me. You've given me your good spirit. I know that I'm not forsaken. You're never going to leave me. What do you want to teach me in this suffering? Yeah, Lord, I don't want to go through sickness. You know, you guys know I was sick for a month in July with West Nile. That was a long month. I felt like I told my wife, I said, I felt like I lost the month of July. It was gone from my life. No one wants to go through suffering or illness. However, do you pause enough to say, Lord, teach me? Youth in here, kids in here. Do you pause to say, hey, you know, my mom and dad are correcting me, disciplining me. That feels like suffering, right? Because you didn't pick up your room. You didn't be kind to your siblings or whatnot. But as adults, when you go through hardships, some of you in this room have walked through some hard things in your life. a divorce, a loss of a family member, a house, a loss of a job, unfairly accused, you can name it, walk through cancer battles. But have you stopped enough to say, Lord, mature me in this? Christ, you bore the cross for me. As it says, Christ willingly took the cross. But why is it sometimes the disciples of Christ, we push away everything that's hard? Some of it's personality. My personality, extroverted people person, we don't like suffering. It's got to be party central 24/7. And anything that's going to rain on the parade, no, we don't want that. However, we all know that's not what's good for us as disciples in Jesus. Now, some of us might be the opposite, and you're always looking for the suffering, the hard and Debbie Downers, and oh, man, like, no, hold on. Christ wants you to have some joy, but he wants you to have joy in the midst of that journey and suffering. And this first verse here a lot of times is overlooked because sometimes in our modern culture, we're hearing the prosperity doctrine preached. Yes, Christ wants to prosper us. Yes, that is true. Yes, he came to give us joy and a life abundant. Yes, he wants to provide for you, call on his name. He wants to take care of your needs. However, that's not the end all be all with Jesus. Jesus wants to develop our character. He wants to show us the eternal, spiritual things that matter. And he wants to take us through those times of suffering so that we can be a light, we can comfort others. But first, we have to arm ourselves with that same attitude. And that's hard in our culture. I think now, and I mean, I know I'm not old enough to go back even 70, 60 years, 100, you know, 80 years, but I think our culture in America, we are going to the pleasure model of the, like with the Romans, that we are going to where everything has to be pleasurable, entertainment, enjoyable. We want, you know, with technology, everything, we want it to be easy and efficient. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying life and having time to relax and relaxation. However, church, as believers, if you say the Lord's my master, my Lord, we have to arm ourselves with that same thinking that Christ put himself through the hardship. He willingly died to his own self and went to the cross. And just like you and I, when we go through suffering, I would encourage as your friend, as a fellow brother in Christ, arm yourself with that same thinking. And don't see it as, oh, God hates me, he's punished me. No, he's not punishing you. He's saying, hey, I'm going to use this to reveal my goodness. I'm going to reveal this. I'm going to walk with you to give you hope and endurance and build your character through this. I'm going to walk with you so that when you go through suffering, you get to go out and be my light and say that there's a God who for us and that he's not forsaken us. Let's jump down here a few verses here. Jump down to verse 4 and verse 5. And it says, with respect to this way, meaning he was talking about the Gentiles here and all the things as he went through, you know, sensuality, passion, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, lawless idolatry. He's saying, with respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they may align you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preaching to those who were dead, and that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. I want to encourage us when we're going through suffering. As you're going through suffering, people are gonna call you out. Oh, you're suffering for this Jesus guy. Well, look at us. We're over here partying, having fun. Man, life is good. We're getting bonuses, buying new cars. We're having fun, partying. Why would you follow Jesus? Why aren't you over here doing what you used to do with? Why aren't you over here? And I want to encourage us once again in chapters 3 and 4. Peter reminds us of the Spirit that we are to stay the course. We are not to go back to the former ways just because life is hard. How many of you have ever been tempted when life's been hard to go back on Jesus? Or you think, is it worth it? Have you ever thought that following Christ? I got a hand back. Yeah. It's okay. It doesn't mean that you're listening. But sometimes there's been times where I'm like, man, sometimes it's hard following Jesus. The things that your flesh wants to do, you have to say, nope. And people are like, come back to join us. And Peter's reminding the church here, the young church, hey, you know what? You are living a whole different life, and these people are going to want to draw you back, and they're going to make fun of you, ridicule you. But he reminds us that as we journey in our life of Christ, that everyone has to give account. Jesus is no respecter of persons. And all those times that the church has been either abused or people have made fun of you or questioned Jesus or made fun of your fallen Christ, he's reminding us that when our Lord comes back, he will hold everyone accountable. And they have to give account for their life. And thus, he's encouraging the church to stay faithful during suffering, to keep doing good, give hope, don't give up in them. Now, jump with me down to verse 7 and 8. And this is a practical application of Scripture that all of us can put in. It says, therefore, the end of all things is at hand. Now, what's interesting is 1 Peter is written, we believe, either in the late 70s or maybe closer to the end of the 80s AD. So we're talking roughly 45 years after Jesus, this was written. And Peter's already saying that it's the end of the world as we know it. Jesus is coming back. They're already saying that. But we know how much more now, as Sean read that verse today from Acts 2, that Jesus is coming back soon. I mean, you guys know Joby. I mean, you know, he's coming back on a horse, but I think he's got the horse fed, saddled up. I mean, you know, he's like, you ready to go, buddy? He's got the sword in it, you know, on the side. He's ready to come. He's opening the gate to the barn and saying, it's about to ride. Let's go ride back. The end is near. And we need to live, as Peter says, he reminds us, this is all the way back in the first century, he reminds us, we are to live with the presence of the King always, that he's coming. And I know we say that, and I remember back in the 80s, when the end of the 80s, when the first Iraq war happened, I remember everybody in my church was like, this is it, he's coming. And after he didn't come, I remember some of the old timers in the church encouraging the church on Sunday night church, saying, hey, oh, okay, he didn't come back. We thought this might have been the escalation, but they said, they encouraged, they said, live with the expectation that he's coming now. And they encouraged the church. I remember being a young boy thinking, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. We are to live like Jesus is always coming. And Peter's reminding us here to be self-controlled, sober-minded, for the sake of your prayers. Above all else, keep loving one another earnestly. Show love over because it covers a multitude of sins. He's reminding us here that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of waiting for the King, you've got to keep living. And I want to encourage you today, if you're going through something, if you're going through suffering, you got to keep living. You got to keep being sober-minded. You got to keep showing hospitality. You got to keep forgiving people. You got to keep loving. You just can't be, as I've said many times, you've shown me, you just can't sit back and be like, well, I'm just going to take a break from this Jesus thing for a while. I'm just going to sit back from forgiving. I'm going to sit back from loving my spouse, my kids. I'm going to sit back from work. I'm just going to wait. I'm having a hard day. No, in the midst of hardships, Peter's reminding the church here to be alert, to be self-controlled, to go out and practically live out this gospel that we have inherited, that we have received as a gift from the Savior. Verse 10 is a familiar verse for a lot of us, but it's one of my favorite verses in Scripture. It's probably my top 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Think about this. When you use your gift, you are spreading God's grace to Siouxland. A lot of us think, well, God, who, you know, you've given me this gift. Who am I? The Lord gave, you know, God's done so much. Jesus gave so much. Yes, he has. But he's given each of you a gift to steward, to spread his grace. Think about that. Think about when Peter wrote this. Think about if you were in a cave in Turkey, or you were in a little house church in Turkey, southern Turkey, and the Romans are persecuting you, the Greeks make fun of you, the townspeople don't like you because you're weird, you follow this dead Jewish guy. And yet Peter says, you have been stowed with the grace that God's given you, a gift to go out and show his grace to the world. Use your gift of serving. Use your gift of hospitality. Use your gift of building something. Use your gift of speaking. Use your gift of serving, whatever it is. Your gift shows that Jesus is alive forevermore, and it spreads his grace. Think about that. It's very sobering to think, well, how does taking care of my kids show God's grace? How does forgiving my coworker? How does going into work every day on time, doing the best I can, being diligent to invest my company's time and talent and treasure, how does that really glorify God? Have you ever thought about that? How does my gift of maybe service or hospitality really matter? It matters because God has given you that gift to show his grace. And it speaks. And look at verse 11. It says, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The amount to which you use your gift shows the amount of God in your life, or the amount you're willing to give God in your life. We sang that song, you can have it all, God. You can have it all, wholly surrendered. Some of you are squashing your gifts, and you've inhibited the work of God in your life and those around you, and your families and your workplaces. You hold on to those gifts, and you think, well, I don't have this gift, or boy, you know, Dave is this, or Naomi, or Ginger, or Sue, or Steve, or, you know, or Lex back there. Well, these people have some great gifts, and whoa! And we've hindered our gifts, and we've hindered God bringing renewal and revival to Siouxland because we undervalue our gifts. Who am I? I'm just a mechanic. Who am I? I'm just a student. Who am I? What's my gift? And Peter reminds us here that in your suffering, you get to steward the grace of God through the life suffering, and you get to help others see that even in suffering, you can do good by using your gifts. And today, church, we need to use our gifts and not stifle them, not hold those back, not keep those to ourselves or think they're less than, because God has given us mighty things. I want to close with this. And here's the question I want to close with. How can I do good today amidst my journey of suffering? This is a question we should all be asking ourselves. What or how can I do good today amidst my journey of suffering? And I want to give you three action points here. First is this, think like Jesus. 1 Peter 4:1. I started off with that. Arm yourselves with the same thinking. How can you do good in the midst of your suffering, your journey of suffering? Is you must think like Jesus. Well, a lot of times, you know, people wear those bracelets, what would Jesus do? But I would say, what would Jesus think? First, in this first verse here, he says, arm yourselves with the same thinking. One of our pastor friends from Alabama says, he would say this to the kids. He would say, do you have stinking thinking? He'd tell the kids in kids' church, do you have stinking? And of course, they'd say with a good Southern accent, do you have stinking thinking? Meaning, is your thought life allowing Christ to use you in the gifts and allowing, are you able to allow Jesus to speak to you? Or is your mindset set on the flesh, set on things of this world? And so the first thing for us to be able to do good in the midst of our suffering is you have to think like Jesus. Get inside of his head, right? Be like one of those profilers, how they get inside someone's head and what would they think and do? Well, what would Jesus do in your suffering? What would he do? Have you ever asked yourself that? Lord, I'm suffering right now. What would you do? I don't know how many times we do that. Or do you curse and you get upset and you're like, oh, this is horrible. Or do you say, okay, Lord, well, boy, I'm sick for a month. What do you want to do? What are you trying to teach me? What do you want to say in my life? What sins in my life? What things have I held back? What things am I trying to just do it on my own without the power of the Spirit? Think like Jesus. Second of all, just you got to be full of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. 1 Peter 4:7, we just read it. He says, therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. 8:9 talk about loving others and showing hospitality. It all comes out of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's all from the fruit. Is the Holy Spirit working in your life, growing fruit? I would say this, are you bearing fruit? Church, bear some fruit. Right? Be little fruit trees. Whatever fruit you love. If you love apples, be a full-blooming apple tree. Or oranges or pear tree, but bear fruit in your life. How do you do good in the midst of suffering? Is you have to be full of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we all know where it's a continual path, and it's a continual thing, right? Some seasons, boy, we've got fruit that's galore. Some seasons, you're like, whew, thank God I got one apple and one orange out of that season of my life, right? Thank you, Jesus. However, God wants you to keep bearing fruit, and he's going to prune you and teach you so that you can bear much fruit, as Jesus said. And then lastly is this, exercise the gifts God has given you, 1 Peter 9-11, which we just read. How do you do good in suffering? You've got to exercise those gifts, church. You got to get out there. Use every gift you have. Don't minimize. Don't demonize. Don't take them for granted. Don't think, well, why am I gift? Why am I not like this person? This week I was talking with a colleague and a friend, and we both had to confront each other of some things that were said in a meeting. And we talked, and it was interesting. I said, you know what, buddy, I don't have your gifts, but I see that in you, but you got to hone that gift to the Spirit. He said, you know what, Dan, I see some gifts in you, but hey, you know what, the Spirit needs to hone some things in that and prune and pride. But he goes, man, I love some of the gifts you have that I don't have. And it was almost like a super friends. You know, together we will fight this good battle together. We're going to need each other's gifts. But he's a fellow brother in Christ, and we were talking. And church, we need to encourage one another, not compare our gifts. Strengthen each other's gifts. Call people's gifts out. If you see somebody lazy on their gifts in this church, you need to call them out as a brother or sister in Christ. Whether it's the gifts of serving, the gift of fixing something, the gift of leading a business, creating a logical business plan, or creating whatever it is in your life, putting together whatever it is, whatever gift God's given you, please exercise it. Don't diminish it. Some of you are in places in places where God has placed you. And sometimes we think, well, God, I'm here, and my employees are against me, or people against me. What does it matter? Am I making a difference, or in my home, or in my neighborhood, or in my marriage? The answer is yes, you're making a difference. Use those gifts he's given you. Exercise those gifts. If he's giving you a gift of education and knowledge, use that. Or if it's business and creating money and investments, as John Wesley said, you know, earn all you can, make all you can, and give all you can. Use up every gift you have. Give away all your gifts. Use those. Give them generously. And let's see how God transforms Siouxland in the midst of suffering. There's many people going through suffering, as you know, in Siouxland. But a lot of people sit back, and even believers sit back, and complain and have no hope of a better day tomorrow. You and I have been redeemed and transformed by the blood of the Lamb, and we can give hope, and we can do good in our suffering. And Peter here, in these two chapters, as he ends these chapters, That's what he's really promoting to us, is that you can do good and you can give hope in Jesus' name. And through that, the world will see that Jesus is King and that he's alive forevermore. I want to end with this, with that verse 19 again. Look at it with me. Therefore, let those who suffer, and Peter was being rhetorical here, we're all going to suffer. Let all those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. And I pray that for us, that as you go out in your families and in your jobs and in your businesses, as whatever whatever suffering life will bring you, I pray that you'll be full of the Spirit, that you'll give hope, that you will entrust yourself to God, knowing that He's with you. And that if your Lord and Savior was willing to give up His life and die, how much more is He alive now? He said, I'm with you, and I'm going to help you through this, and I'm going to be with you. How much more is Christ willing to walk us through those hard times if we entrust ourselves to Him and say, Lord, you can have it all. I entrust you with it all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Lord, I entrust you with it all. And I'm going to bring a good report to your name so that others will see and testify to you. And so with that, church, let's pray. And I pray today. I know that that sometimes life can be really hard, but I pray today that you'll be encouraged to know that you've got a gift and God's with you, and we can entrust those hard times of life to Him because He's going to see us through. So let's pray, and let's just ask Him to be with us. God, we just come before you. God, we've heard your testimonies today from people. God, we've heard how you have showed up in people's lives. God, we have, God, sing praises to you that you're faithful and true, and that, Lord, you are to be crowned and be praised above all things. God, we sing that we can be glad in you, for you're with us. And so, God, we just take a moment. We say, God, thank you for walking with us through the valleys of shadow of death. But we say thank you that, God, we get to walk through those valleys, that you've not appointed us to stay there, but, God, you have appointed us to life and life abundantly. And, God, we say thank you that, God, when we struggle, when we walk through things of life, we know that you're with us. God, we say thank you for this body of believers. We say thank you for fellow brothers and sisters to walk alongside of us, to encourage us, to lift up our arms, to say, don't give up, keep following Jesus. So, God, I pray today for suffering. I pray that we would go to one of our brothers and sisters today for accountability, encouragement, and just for strengthening and support. God, help us to go out and strengthen the body of Christ. Help us to go out, God, to give hope to others in Siouxland, in your name, Jesus, that are suffering and going through hard things. God, we pray that we, your church, Crosspoint, would go out and be a beacon, a light on a hill, Jesus. And we would say, there is hope in Jesus. There is hope forevermore in your name. God, go with us this week. God, let us enjoy this meal. Thank you for the hands and the people that made food. God, we just praise you for everything you've given us. God, may your church be a blessing to those around us in Siouxland. And we pray this all in your strong and mighty name. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, if you're going through a struggle, come forward and we'll be praying. A couple of our deacons will be up here. But if you need prayer for anything, come forward. We love you, church. Go out.